The Labour Court of South Africa had to hear a matter between Escort Limited and Stearman Mokgotsi and others pertaining to Stearman Mokgotsi being dismissed, because he had tested positive for COVID-19 and decided to return to work. What implications does this have in your organization, and how, from a human resources point of view, you manage such issues? Kim Harris joins us on the line now. Kim is the director of the CHA Group that specializes in labor law matters. Kim, a very good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on your show.
Perhaps for those who have not been following the case, Kim, do you want to just give a high-level summary of what had happened that led us to this labor court decision on the 28th of March?
Yes, pleasure. So the employee had been reporting to work after knowing that he had tested positive for the coronavirus, and he had failed to disclose that he'd undergone the testing and that he was waiting for results. So in his actions and through his contact with his fellow colleagues, that a lot of them which had comorbidities, the employer felt that he'd placed them at a huge risk, and they proceeded to a disciplinary hearing. They terminated his services, and of course the employee was aggrieved, challenged his dismissal at the CCMA. And the CCMA found that he should rather be reinstated and be given a final written warning. Needless to say, the employer was not happy about this and actually took the matter on review to the Labour Court, and they actually overruled, and they stated that in their opinion or in their judgment that the dismissal was in fact fair because of his actions that were just absolutely, he had total disregard to the company's rules. He was actually a member of the company's in-house coronavirus committee. So he knew exactly what was expected of him. So the court did actually then uphold the dismissal, but there was a bit of a cautioning to the employer as well at the end of the day.
I was about to say, because Judge Edwin Hlotla-Lemaje said that there were some errors, I suppose, in the way that the employer handled the matter, but at the end, the dismissal of Mokgotsi was substantially fair. What do we need to take away from those cautions that came out of the Labour Court judgment?
First of all, obviously, you know, this Disaster Management Act that has been put in place renders you as the employer potentially liable for anybody in your workplace, whether it be a employee or a customer. So, and in this instance, they were allowing customers to come in without following the regulations, but then they dismissed the employee. So this is actually the cautioning that the judge actually gave. And he also said, you know, it just doesn't make sense. But as the employer, you definitely need to ensure that your business follows all occupational health and safety guidelines, because the Department of Labor is very proactive in policing and enforcing these requirements. Obviously, because of the implications that it has on those employees that are at work that have comorbidities. Also to involve the shop stewards, the trade unions, in terms of getting these standards in place, making sure that the rules are communicated to the staff. That's the other important thing. It doesn't help having all these beautiful policies and procedures, but we're not sharing with the actual workforce at the end of the day.
And I find that it's important, Kim, to almost repeat that ad nauseum, right? The number of times I come into Primedia Broadcasting and I'm reminded of what I need to be careful. Guys, I know this. I've been talking about it for more than a year. But the employer takes it upon themselves as a responsibility to ensure that every time I go into the building, I know exactly what is required of me.
Yes, and most definitely, because at the end of the day, as the employer, you have a vicarious liability towards the rest of your staff. So if you're not enforcing all these rules and regulations that you have done or had in place, and somebody becomes ill, and especially it's at the workplace directly, and it can be shown to be such, and you have an employee that is extremely ill or even passes away, the employer is the one that's going to be left holding this whole debacle and is going to be answerable for it.
You do suggest that if you don't have one yet, have an occupational health and safety guideline, number one, that obviously outlines fully what is required of both the employer and the employee as we navigate these rather uncharted waters of COVID-19 pandemic. I would imagine couple that with, if you like it, you know, your cheerleaders, people whose responsibility will be then to repeatedly, as I said, ad nauseum, remind people of what those guidelines are.
Correct, yes, yes. And in fact, it's part of your occupational health and safety regulations that were amended that said that once the employer restarts his operations and his business, he has to have in place all these regulations in terms of, in this instance, this is how we deal with it, and we're allowing so many people back, and this is the social distancing measures we have in place, and sanitation, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not even just a nice-to-have thing. It is a have-to-have thing.
What the judgment seemingly did not cover, though, for me, Kim, is what happens in an instance where you fear losing your job if you don't show up on the day because you might suspect that you've been exposed to COVID-19. Because, unfortunately, there are many, many, many South Africans who would probably tell that tale.
Well, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. The situation, I think, that one has, or that employees and the employer has to bear in mind is that, first of all, the employee needs to report to the employer to say, listen, I'm not feeling well. I'm not coming to work. I do believe that I may have been in contact with somebody, and actually go and get tested, because the employer also then has to do some sort of contact tracing to establish where the employee has picked this up, whether it be at the workplace, because then it becomes a claim through occupational health and safety. And obviously then allowing the employer then the opportunity to get the necessary treatment, to self-isolate and so forth. So I think that we are going to see a lot more judgments coming out in terms of COVID-related situations, whether it be unfair labour practices, whether it be the whole TERS and UIF thing. But I definitely think that we are going to see a lot more of these cases coming to light.
Kim, thank you very much indeed for your insights. It is a Labour Court judgment that was handed down in March of this year, but I think an important one, because if you suppose take the money, put in the investment into preventing these mistakes, it might save you in the bigger run, more costly bill for having to address issues that might involve people with comorbidities being exposed to COVID-19 and you as an employer being held severely liable for that because of what is required of you. Kim Harris is a director of the CHA Group, a specialist labor consultant.